killer Mark Grudeau talks to the jury as the sentencing phase of his trial draws to an end.
He tells them several times, contrary to what they may have heard, quote, Mark Grudeau is no wolf in sheep's clothing. He says after serving time in prison for violent crimes, he says he learned his lesson, got married, and held down a job.
That's Barbara Villa. Authorities shut down another suspected drug smuggling tunnel at Nogales.
The tunnel from point of entry to point of exit, point of entry being in Mexico, point of exit being in the United States, was 70 feet long and basically at its deepest point was 20 feet under the surface.
The former chief operating officer for the Fiesta Bowl indicted for her role in an alleged cover-up of illegal political campaign contributions.
Reimbursement for federal campaign contributions is prohibited under the Federal Election Campaign Act.
Child abuse task force appointed by the governors at work.
This is not a zero-sum game.
That's Bill Montgomery, Maricopa County Attorney, George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of the 99 cent only stores in the 4 o'clock hour. Look for an injury collision, Camelback Road east of I-17. Also, we have a wreck on the right shoulder, westbound I-10 at 7th Avenue. We do have another wreck. This one's going to create a problem, gang. Eastbound I-10. Just before you arrive at the tunnel, you may want to think about McDowell this afternoon. Are you ready for Thanksgiving festivities? Stop by 99 cent only stores to make a memorable feast. Pick up Boston Market turkey gravy and mashed potatoes for only 99.99 cents each. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Beautiful weather the rest of the work week. Upper 70s tomorrow and Friday. A little bit cooler over the weekend, partly cloudy. We're back to the upper 60s to low 70s, but no rain in the forecast. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News Time is 4:05. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 73 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, it's the Legalese Radio Show with your host, Dennis Willinchek. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
I am Professor Nathaniel Burke from the University of Farmers. Their agents' minds are cultivated like a plump butternut squash. And this is a pop quiz. True or false? Nearly 20% of American drivers are uninsured. If you answered true, you're correct. If you said false, you have way too much faith in your fellow man.
Chat with a Farmers Insurance agent to see how you can protect yourself with a personalized auto policy. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Get to know a Farmers agent, call 800-FARMERS or visit farmers.com, because ready feels good.
The Great American Smokeout is coming up November 17th. Why is this a good time to quit smoking?
The Great American Smokeout is happening November 17th, and it's a great day to start the quitting process. And the Arizona Smokers Helpline at 1-800-556-6222 can help you become one of Arizona's success stories. You, too, can be successful with a coach by calling the ASH line at 1-800-556-6222 or going to the web at www.ashline.org.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
I grew up.
You're out of order.
I want to be a lawyer just like you.
You're out of order.
Good for you, son.
The whole trial is out of order.
If there's one thing America needs,
they're out of order.
It's more lawyers.
Oh. You got my pride hanging out of my
Good afternoon. This is Dennis Willinchek, and it's 4 o'clock every Wednesday. We bring you the Legalese Show, and here we are at KFNX in the downtown studios, AM 1100, and. Hope you're all having a good day. Today we have an interesting show leading into the Savage Show. And today we're going to be talking to a bunch of different guests. Gosh, there's so much happening in the news now that it's hard to you know, pick where to go. But first we're going to have on the show with us Ali Noorani, who is the executive director of the National Immigration Forum in Washington, D.C. And we're going to be talking about the immigration reform movement that's afoot, given that many of you, of course, are now aware that Jerry Lewis, no kidding, that's his name, is defeated, Russell Pierce. And we've had a state with Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis now. So hopefully one of them is kind of funny, I hope. But nothing funny about what Jerry Lewis is doing now. He's moving for a moderate immigration bill and reform. And we'll be talking with our guest, Ali Noorani, about that in the first segment of our show. And then later this afternoon, we'll be talking with Representative Jerry Wires, who's a Glendale legislator from our state, who's promoting local job fairs for veterans, which I think is a fascinating idea, great idea, and we want to promote that. And then we'll be talking later on today with Will Cardin, who is running for the U.S. Senate against Jeff Flake. And we'll be talking about his run and why he's running against Congressman Flake and what he hopes to accomplish. And finally, we'll be speaking with Bob Littlefield at the end of the program, who is a Scottsdale City Councilman, and we'll be discussing Arizona voter redistricting issues and problems that Bob Littlefield has in Scottsdale, serving on the council there, and problems he foresees with the issue. Of course, you all know that at this point we have lots of issues with the redistricting issues, the ouster of the redistricting chair, the litigation that's been ongoing with that. We'll follow that story on this show, hopefully have some guests maybe next week on it as the legal issues pan out. As you know, there are many people that have applied now to become the chair of the Arizona Redistricting Panel, and we'll hopefully have more on that, as I say, in a future show. And right now we're going to turn to Mr. Narani, or Ali Narani, and we'll be talking about this new immigration reform movement. Ali, if I pronounce your name correctly, you're from Washington, D.C., correct?
I am. Thanks for having me, Dennis.
Absolutely. And we're interested in what you're hopefully going to tell us is a moderate immigration reform movement that's afoot. And there's something called the Utah Compact, if I have it right. And so we want you to, first of all, explain who you are to our audience and what you do. And then we'll talk about this Utah Compact and what that is, okay?
Absolutely. So I run an organization called the National Immigration Forum. Our mission is to advocate for the value of immigrants and immigration to the nation and frankly, the individuals and their families within our country. We do this in a way where we're working across the political spectrum with Republicans, with moderates, with Democrats, really to find, to develop, and to find the pragmatic, moderate, practical solutions that move our nation forward. I think that, you know, whether it's immigration or any other policy issue, the voters across the country are incredibly tired of the scapegoating, the grenade throwing from the left and the right. And I think there's a real emerging consensus, again, whether it's immigration or anything else, where people want their elected officials to actually, you know, come up with solutions and solutions that...
No kidding. Is that right? People actually want that?
You wouldn't think it.
Well, that's a shocking revelation. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think there's room for moderation in this country right now. Of course, you know what's happening in our state. It's been kind of a shockwave in terms of SB 1070 and then, of course, the ouster recently, which I think was also shocking to a lot of people, of Russell Pierce, who is the president of the Senate, who had initiated a lot of these bills on immigration reform. And so now we've got Jerry Lewis, I guess, who's going to be introducing, who defeated Russell Pierce, who claims in the newspaper, at least, that he's going to be introducing some kind of moderate immigration reform. Are you familiar with what he's talking about?
Yes, actually, just north of Arizona in Utah, the state attorney general, the Sutherland Institute, members from the governor's office, the Salt Lake Chamber, and others, came together to craft something they called the Utah Compact. And they based this compact on actually the original Mayflower Compact, where, you know, the Mayflower people came together and said, okay, we have to have some guiding principles that, in essence, bind us together. So what they did in Utah is craft five principles that are a declaration to guide Utah's immigration discussion. And those include federal solutions, in that immigration is a federal policy issue that the federal government needs to deal with. Second, law enforcement, that there's incredible respect for the rule of law and support for law enforcement's professional judgment and discretion. Third, families and really protecting the nucleus and the strength of families. Fourth, the economy, and that Utah, much less our country, as a free economy, as an economy that believes in free enterprise, how does our immigration discussion help the moving, facilitation of free enterprise? And then finally, free society, in that immigrants are integrated into communities across Utah or anywhere else in the country, and that we must have a humane approach to this reality. So this Utah Compact came together as five guiding principles around which moderates and conservatives were able to say, you know what, this is the kind of conversation we want to have. And then, you know, the legislature in Utah picked that up and struggled with that problem and struggled with that challenge. And, you know, they came up with three pieces of legislation ranging from a worker program to an enforcement program. And, you know, it was good to see a state actually have a real debate about how does a state's economy, their families, et cetera, move forward. And not just a debate about, you know, how do we just pour more money into enforcing the status quo.
All right, well, in the few minutes we have before we have to take our break, because we have a busy show today, tell us what you think, basically, from a concrete level, you see happening in the near future or hope to see happening with respect to immigration reform in terms of SB 1070. Are you advocating, for example, or do you think we'll see a repeal of the movement afoot on that, a withdrawal of it, if you will, in the courts? I mean, where does this go at this point from a concrete level in terms of what's going to happen?
Right, sure. So ever since, you know, SB 1070 passed in Arizona, you've seen the courts get involved. I think that we'll see whether it's the Ninth Circuit on the West Coast or I think the Second Circuit on the East Coast. Those cases will move forward where eventually we'll see the Supreme Court determine what the right direction is. So we'll see ongoing expensive legal challenges to SB 1070. I think then we're seeing in Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina efforts to emulate SB 1070. And ways that have actually been proved disastrous for those economies, whether it's agricultural or other parts of those economies. So I think what we're going to see is legislators coming to their senses and saying, you know what, SB 1070 is not the right way we should be going, and we actually have to have a much more pragmatic and moderate immigration debate.
So do you see in the future, for example, Arizona, which is of course in the forefront of this issue, do you see Arizona actually repealing SB 1070, that kind of an approach? Is that what you're looking at?
Well, I mean, I would leave that up to the voters of Arizona. I think that Russell Pierce realized that voters in Arizona want a way forward that doesn't just, you know, beat up on immigrants. So I think that, you know, there's some great organizations on the ground like Citizens for Better Arizona and others who have really raised the voices of moderate and pragmatic Arizona citizens, and it's going to be up to them to decide, you know, whether or not to repeal SB 1070.
All right, but your organization, real quickly, the National Immigration Forum, what is it you specifically would like to see in 2 minutes or less happen if you had an ideal world in terms of what our policy on immigration should be?
In an ideal world, we would want to see this Congress come together to pass comprehensive immigration reform, which would require those who are here undocumented to get right with the law, pass a criminal background check, pay a fine, and get on the path to citizenship. We would also want to see a security system, whether it's on the border or on the interior, which is safe, effective, and efficient. And then finally, we need to have a work visa and a family visa system, which actually meets the needs of our economy, our workforce, and our families. Right now, we have none of those things in place because Congress has failed to do its job in fixing our immigration system.
Yeah, do you think it's realistic that we're going to see that kind of reform, say, over the next couple of years, or given the election system that we've got now, meaning the Obama situation on a federal level, that it's going to be tough to get any of that done?
I think it's going to be tough in the next year. But I think coming out of this next presidential election, I'm more and more I believe that voters are going to be saying November 12th, we want moderate candidates elected, we want real solutions. So I think we're going to have an opportunity in 2013 to actually move moderate, pragmatic immigration reform.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, and we appreciate your being on the show, Ali Narani, Executive Director of the National Immigration Forum, and we'll follow the story with you as time goes by and see how it goes. Thank you, Ali, for being with us from Washington.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Same here. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes after these commercial messages, and we'll be talking with Representative Jerry Wires.
Lars Larson, weeknights at 10 on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Arizona sports fans, this is Andy Dorf, host of Dorf on Sports, heard every Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. on KFNX Radio for my good friends, azcasino.com. Get dialed in with the online leader since 1997. That's GoTo Entertainment's azcasino.com. Call 888-333-PLAY now and mention Dorf on Sports for a $25 free play, a 25% cash bonus. That's 888-333-PLAY. That's GoTo Entertainment's azcasino.com. Any wager, any sport, anytime, azcasino.com.
This is Michael Savage. I want you to know that freedom of speech is not free. Believe me, courageous radio stations like this one want your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show and all the others you've come to depend on for the real truth. Talk radio in many ways is America's immune system, but it needs your booster shot. If you're a business, you need to put your money where your heart is. Advertise on this station. And here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Why? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the radio shows that they love. If you're a business, any kind of business, I don't care if you're a roofer, a plumber, advertise on this station. If you're a listener, do business with the businesses that advertise on my show and others on this station. For more information on how you can buy ads on this station or my show, call 877-474-6605. Write it down, 877-474-6605, to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.
Lou Dobbs, afternoons at 1 on KFNX.
This is Dennis Wilenchek, and we're back on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5 on KFNX, News Talk Radio 1100. And, you know, every time I listen to Michael Savage, I'm feeling good because having grown up in New York, tried to lose my accent over the years, boy, that guy is something else, isn't he? He's just an amazing guy, but still has that accent. Anyway. We're going to be talking right now with Representative Jerry Wyers, who is doing something that I find fascinating, and he's promoting local job fairs for veterans. Couldn't be a better idea if I had thought of it. So, Representative Wyers, are you on the line with us?
I am. How are you doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing great.
Excellent. Well, you know, I confused you at first with Jim Wyers. I don't know if he's a relative of yours.
Yeah, actually, he is my older brother. Easily confuse the names, but when you look at us, I'm the better-looking one.
Well, I don't know about that part, but I've seen your brother. Maybe you're right, actually, now that I think about it. But I actually had the good fortune of representing him in something a while back, so in court. So he's a good guy, and give him my regards.
I'll do that.
Yeah. Well, we're here talking to you, though, about you're the representative from Glendale, and you're promoting, I think, and that's probably a good word in this case, local job fairs for veterans. Tell us all about that and what that's entails.
Well, I will. Thank you. I guess, first of all, I just hate the word job fair. You know, when I think of job fair, I think of people out there juggling and clowns and stuff like that.
Well, blame that on my producer. He gave me that.
What I'm calling this actually.
We'll get to him later.
Is Support Our Heroes, and it's an employment opportunity event. And what we were trying to do is focus our attention mostly on West Valley employers. And when I say West Valley, you know, I've been here since 66. Me, West Valley is everything west of I-17 and clear out to Wickenburg and clear down to Gila Bend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very large area and actually encompasses lots of different districts and nearly 20 cities. With that, our people that we're trying to get these jobs are the returning guardsmen, reservists, and, of course, our veterans. You know, we have nearly 30% unemployment with our veterans, which is ridiculous is not the word. It's unfathomable. It makes me nauseous to think about it. The folks that have been serving our country, putting their lives on the line to protect us, to protect our very freedoms.
Well, just to interrupt you for 1 second, I mean, it seems to me that now we're bringing the troops home from Iraq. It's only going to get worse, not better, right?
Well, you know, I guess it depends on how you look at it. It's better that the guys are out of harm's way. It's worse the fact that we've got nothing to give them when they come home.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, my thought here was, as I talk with businesses, I'm finding there are still a lot of businesses that are, in fact, hiring, but they're being extremely selective on who they hire because that's the nature of free market right now. You can pick and choose when business is slow, you get your best employees. When things are slow, when things are booming, I remember just a few short years ago that people would hire anybody that could fog a mirror just to have an employee.
Well, I mean, these are people who are not only skilled, and the government pays for their skills, but also people who are used to taking orders, quite frankly, and are used to making the most out of situations.
Well, absolutely. It's guys that are trainable, that actually can pass a P-test. They have all their teeth and speak English. It's really something that, I feel very strongly the fact that these are people that have been willing to put their lives on the line for us, and the very least we can do is try to make certain when they come home that they have work. You know, I can't think of a nicer, better, more compassionate thing to do than to give one of these guys, and women, because we have both male and female, the opportunity to go home and tell their spouses, you know what, don't worry about Christmas, I've got a job.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, I don't think anybody could argue that point. So tell us really, and if I get the term wrong, I apologize, you refer to it as Support Our Heroes, Employment Opportunity Events, which is kind of long-winded, but so forgive me if I mess that up. But tell us, our listening audience, what we can do to help in this regard and what you're really trying to organize here, when you're trying to organize. I understand you have some kind of event on November 26th, some kind of Thanksgiving-type event. Is that right?
That is correct. It's 2 days after Thanksgiving, and I have to tell you up front, and I'm going to throw a plug in here, and I hope you allow it to go through. But
yeah, absolutely.
The Wigwam Resort's donating this room completely at no charge because they understood the severity of what's happening with our veterans.
Sure.
And they were the very first ones to jump on and say, you know what, we want to help and make this thing happen. So, you know, my hat's off to these folks for understanding
absolutely
how important our veterans are. But what I need desperately is employers. Anybody, and when I say anybody that is really truly looking to hire somebody, not somebody that wants to come down and get some free advertising and then 6-8 months from now maybe think about hiring somebody. I'm looking for someone that can put somebody to work, you know, immediately. The event goes from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock. I'm asking the employers, the people looking to hire, to be there by 7. There's zero charge. There's no charge to anybody. Everything is donated. It's at the Wigwam Resort, and that's 300 East Wigwam Boulevard in Litchfield Park. Again, no charge to anybody. And we have tables. We have chairs. We have folks coming out that's going to help our reservists, our veterans, our guardsmen fill out their applications if they need it, computers available, printers.
All right, so let me get this straight in the time we have. You're calling on all employers out there, anybody from small business to whoever's listening, to basically do what? Do they contact you in advance or do they just show up?
I wish that they would contact me in advance. It would just make my life a little easier. We have
– Or tell them how they do that so that we get that out there.
Sure. Well, there's two numbers they can call, one here at the state capitol at my office, and that's 602-926-5894. They can also reach me at 602-677-0755. Now, with Thanksgiving being on Thursday, a lot of places are going to be closed on Friday. This event starts Saturday morning. You know, I don't close. I mean, this is something that's important to me. If you need to call me 9 o'clock Thursday night, I'll answer the phone.
Yeah, no, so, we appreciate your efforts. We really do. It's great. And as I understand it, this event is free to attend. Anybody can attend. And there's a resume writing assistance group or something that will be on site. Is that right?
That is correct. We've got people that will be there to help with resumes, fill out the applications, and help with computers to get that information set in. You know, one of the things that I've been told by a lot of different people in a lot of different job fairs is people will stand in line for hours, get up to the tables to find out. The people say, take this, fill it out, and email it to me at home. You know, that's, in my opinion, that's demeaning. It makes people not even want to attend these. I'm asking employers to come out with the intention on, if they possibly can, hiring on the spot. At the very least, at least set up appointments where people can come to your place of business and the following week and have a real chance of getting a job.
Yeah, and as I understand it, you're going to be handing out like 150 turkeys?
I don't even know how you found out about that, but yeah, I had...
We have our ways.
You do. I had a place that said we want to do more. We would like to donate 150 turkeys, and the 150 first 150 folks that come out there and fill out their stuff, on their way out, at least send them home with it. It's a turkey breast. It's about a 6 or 7 pound turkey breast, but at least they, when they go home, even if they didn't get a job, if they made some contacts and have some possibilities, they're still going home with a turkey.
Yeah, so
and I don't mean that in the bad sense. I mean that in the good sense.
Yeah.
Christmas is only 3 weeks after that, and boy, if we could just get some folks to show up and help out with this, that would make a great Christmas. Self-serving for me, if I know that I can put a veteran to work before Christmas, you know, that's about the best Christmas present I can think of.
Well, frankly, I think for everyone. I mean, it's a wonderful idea. It's a way to give back. It's a way to show the veterans that we care. It never ceases to amaze me how we sort of forget that these people are over there in harm's way for us when we're going about our daily lives. So we commend you for this. It's really wonderful. It warms our heart to even think about it. And as I understand it, some of the businesses involved in this are, SNS Tire, Department of Corrections, McDonald's, Prime Solutions Aerospace, Brazo Healthcare, Yates Buick, Pontiac Kickman's Family Farm. You got a lot of, probably at least 20 local employers already signed up, right?
We're pushing 30 employers right now, and I, you know, I don't know how many folks will be up looking for jobs, but quite honestly, I would expect we easily could have 1,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. I'm hoping you'll have a phenomenal turnout on this. So we're talking with Representative Jerry Wires, and we're going to take a break soon, who is, talking to us and promoting a Support Our Heroes employment opportunity event on November 26th. At the Wigwam Resort, and you can get a hold of him at 926-5894 if you have any questions, or 677-0755. We hope that people will show up for your event, Representative Wires, and we think you're a great guy, and I really appreciate your doing this for everyone.
Well, you know what? It's just the right thing to do, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing helping get the word out.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we will be back in a few minutes after these messages, and we're here on Legalese with Dennis Wolinchek.
CNN Radio, I'm Edgar Fragitz. A group of 24 millionaires spoke out on Capitol Hill today, demanding that lawmakers raise their taxes. Charlie Fink, with the group Patriotic Millionaires for Fiscal Strength, says the amount of debt faced by the country is massive.
The country over the past 10 years, through two unfunded wars, through tax cuts to its wealthiest citizens, has dug a hole that is bigger than the hole that was dug by World War II.
The group plans to push lawmakers to reject any deal that the Deficit Reduction Supercommittee settles on that does not raise taxes on millionaires. GOP presidential candidate Newt Gingrich admits mortgage giant Freddie Mac did business with his consulting firm more than a decade ago, money paid only for strategic advice. The former House Speaker spent a second day answering questions about the relationship while campaigning in Iowa. For the first time since the summer, the price of a barrel of oil is up above the $100 mark. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN.
Arizona News Radio, another drug smuggling tunnel found in Nogales.
It did go down deep, and it did, it did have some pretty heavy shoring in it, but it was your basic standard tunnel.
Convicted baseline killer Mark Godeau talks to the jury trying to avoid the death penalty.
I can't undo anything. I'm simply here to tell you. Mark Godeau is no wolf, a sheep.
The former chief operating officer for the Fiesta Bowl indicted for her role in an alleged cover-up of illegal campaign contributions.
The indictment also alleges that Ms. Wisniewski filed false tax returns on behalf of the Fiesta Bowl.
Chandler police say a man attempted to abduct an 8-year-old boy walking home from school.
Have your kids walk with a group if they do have to walk to school. If you can take them to school or if they can utilize the bus, that's always the best thing to do.
Glendale police looking for a person of interest in a sexual assault.
When he pushed his way inside the home, he did some inappropriate things.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, once again a service of the 99 cent only store. Injury collision gang, 23rd Avenue north of Union Hills. Look for a disabled vehicle blocking the right lane. Southbound Loop 101, that's the Pima folks at Shea Boulevard. And you have an injury accident at Peoria Avenue east of I-17. Are you ready for Thanksgiving festivities? Stop by 99 cent only stores to make a memorable feast. Pick up Boston Market turkey gravy and mashed potatoes for only 99.99 cents each. Here's your Wednesday afternoon fofo.
Jim Howe from the KFNX Weather Center. Beautiful weather the rest of the work week. Upper 70s tomorrow and Friday. A little bit cooler over the weekend, partly cloudy. We're back to the upper 60s to low 70s, but no rain in the forecast. Jim Howe, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently in here in Midtown, we are at 73 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when we break. When we get back, we'll continue with Legalese, the radio show with your host, Dennis Willinchek. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Are you like thousands of Arizonans whose home is underwater? Are you struggling to pay your bills or need a fresh start? I'm attorney Jason Wells of the Wells Law Group. Contact us at 480-779-PRO-1. My staff and I are dedicated to empowering homeowners against the banks. Call 480-779-PRO-1, 480-779-PRO-1, that's 480-779-PRO-1, or check us out at theazrealestatepro.com, that's theazrealestatepro.com.
Hey America, the handout line for your money gets longer by the day. There's Obama's big fat government, Wall Street crooks, and now even deadbeat vermin protesters. What do they want? Your money. For wealth redistribution through higher taxes. And yes, higher inflation. But I'm here to stop them from stealing your assets. The trillions of insane spending and money creation is about to explode. One book, The Inflation Deception, will prepare you. It exposes the inflatocracy and seven ways to stop them. Call 800-289-2646 now. 800-289-2646 for your free copy. It's normally $19.95, but free from me, Michael Savage. Call now, 800-289-2646. Obama and Occupy Wall Streeters agree. They want your money. Get and read The Inflation Deception. Best financial book of the year. Trust me, I've read this book. 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646 today.
Neil Bortz, mornings at 10 on KFNX.
You have the right to remain silent. That's what I want. If you give up the right to remain silent, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Freedom. You have the right to speak with an attorney.
Get me my lawyer! Freedom.
And to have the attorney present during questioning. If you so desire and cannot afford one, an attorney will be appointed for you without charge before questioning. Now, do you understand each of these rights I've explained to you?
Get me my lawyer! I've been humiliated!
This is Dennis Willinchek on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5, covering all kinds of topics here today. And, you know, I just love that guy, by the way, just the facts, ma'am. Those of you who are that are old enough to remember that show, Dragnet. We're here in this segment of the show talking with Will Cardin, who's with us by phone. Will is a very successful Mesa real estate investor and is a Republican entering the race for the U.S. Senate seat, being vacated by John Kyle. And though Mr. Cardin has never run for office, his family is well known in the East Valley. And his father is a longtime business leader, Wilford Cardin, second cousin to Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney. And we're going to be talking to Will about why he's decided to enter the race. So, Will, are you with us?
I'm here, Dennis. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Well, I got to be honest. I have contributed money to Jeff Flake, so I just want that to be out in the open that you know, I was asked to, and I did. So
that's okay. That's okay, Dennis. We'll get you over here today.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your race, though. Why are you running for Senate, and what do you have to offer to tell our listeners?
Well, Dennis, what you just pointed out, I'm a political outsider, conservative, and a businessman, and a jobs creator. You talked about Jeff Flake. He's a good gentleman, but he's never worked in the private sector. He's always been signing the back of a paycheck instead of the front of it. And right now, the skill set we need in Washington, D.C. is someone who's actually created jobs and understands how that works so we can grow out of this recession. So I'm a businessman. I'm not someone who's captive to Washington special interests. And that's why I'm running.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious about that. It sounds great. But My understanding is that at one time you were a political ally and supporter of Representative Flake. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I gave money to Jeff Flake earlier in his career. But he doesn't have the skill set right now as a senator, and I have not given anything to him.
Okay, so I guess what I'm trying to find out for our audience is there some fallout that occurred, or is it just that you feel that given where we are in this economy right now, that you can offer the voters a better opportunity for somebody to get in there who is more seasoned on business issues, kind of like a Mitt Romney kind of approach?
You got it. Okay. Yeah, there's been no fallout. I think Jeff is a nice man.
Okay. That was my impression. That's why I'm asking you. You seem like a nice guy.
But that's what we need is people going back to Washington who've actually done it, not just read about it in books or written nice op-eds about it.
Okay. And my understanding is also that you're collecting money, of course, to run. Aren't all politicians. But you're also prepared, as I understand it, to run regardless. If you even have to self-fund, you're going to still run. Is that my understanding?
Well, yeah. I'm not going to unfortunately, I'm not going to have to self-fund. The message we have is resonating out there. People want someone who hasn't been part of the Washington establishment, isn't part of the Washington establishment. So we've been very successful in raising money. And I'm prepared to invest in my candidacy, but I don't think I'll have to do all that much of that because of the message that we're getting out there and the support we're getting.
Yeah, let me ask you something about that. I mean, one of the things that, again, candidly, that troubles me is that the Republicans tend to fight among each other, and then they wind up getting outspent in the general election. We've seen that in our state many times, where Democrats have gotten into office that probably shouldn't have been in office simply because the Republicans beat each other up and the only person left standing was the Democrat who kind of skated in. We've seen that before. I can go into chapter and verse on that. But And that's my only concern is, first of all, who is running on the Democratic side? Has anybody announced that they're running?
I believe there are two people that have I don't know how many total people. I think there are two that have announced that media keeps reporting on.
Yeah.
Carmona and Don Bivens.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Don Bivens is running. I forgot that. Who is the chairman of the Democratic Party, or still is, I don't know. And Carmona, Richard Carmona, who is the former, Surgeon General? I think, right?
I don't know.
I thought he was, but
anyway.
That's my understanding. He's from Tucson, I thought. So getting back to it. Now, tell us what your plan would be then, given your business background. You may want to tell our listeners a little bit more about why you think you're more capable than Jeff Flake or Carmona or Bivens to get in there and solve the problems we've got here in the state.
Yeah. What we need right now is growth in order to get out of this crisis that we put our government's put all of us in. As a businessman, I've helped create thousands of jobs. I've balanced budgets, cut spending, done things that you and your family and I and my family have had to do, and faced head on the worst economy since the Great Depression. And in our business, we haven't used a single dollar of debt, so we have no debt. And I think that our country needs more businessmen to step up and go back to Washington, D.C., and change the way we do business, because obviously the way it's been done for the last decade is not working at all.
Well, yeah, I guess tell me specifically what you have in mind is like the biggest priority if you go back there. Let's talk about some issues like the debt ceiling, pork projects, the border, any other issues you want to tell us specifically that you're running on that you think are important for you to turn to.
Unlike Jeff Flake, I would have not voted to increase the debt ceiling. He eventually voted against it, but he didn't. He did that after he voted for it.
Arizona
that sounds
needs familiar.
Jobs. I believe we need to lower taxes. I believe we need to increase the incentives that entrepreneurs and businessmen have in order to create jobs and to hire people and to get this economy going again. I want to cut spending and balance the budget. I oppose earmarks. There's no difference between Jeff Flake and me on earmarks. But I think Washington wastes and spends too much money. It needs to be put under control.
Anything else that you disagree with Jeff Flake on that you would do differently if you were elected?
Yes, illegal immigration. Jeff has been a proponent of amnesty until he decided he was running for the Senate, and I would be a consistent opponent of amnesty. He and Barack Obama had the same position before he decided to run for the Senate.
I think
I was kind of concerned when he said on the show that he was going to the White House and playing on the White House basketball court, but that's another story. I wondered if he elbowed Barack Obama while he was there. But let me ask you this. Who are you voting for president?
You know, I haven't decided on that yet. I think there's a lot of good men running. And if I were to say that right now, I'd alienate, no matter what I did, there's, they call them at 20% support, I'd alienate 80% of the people. That's not a...
I know. That's why I asked you the question.
I don't want to do that.
Well, that's why I asked you the question, because you need to take a stand at some point. But I would think you'd be for Romney, but is that wrong?
Let me tell you the stand I would take. I think favorably of Mitt Romney, because I think we need businessmen. Just like I stated, we need businessmen to go back to Washington, D.C.
What about Herman Cain? He's a businessman.
He's another great choice. Herman is another great choice. We need people with some common sense who aren't part of the Washington establishment and therefore won't think of the of solutions the way Washington has done them in the past.
All right, I got only a minute.
I think we have a lot of great Republican candidates, by the way, that do that.
Well, I got about a minute, and we will have you back on, I promise, but if you'd like to be. But tell us the first thing you do if you hit your Senate seat that you try to get accomplished.
The first thing we have to do is get the economy back going again.
How would you do it?
I would go about every way I could, creating incentives for people to create jobs and to get government out of their business.
What about the tax code?
Businesses, it needs to be simplified and reformed and lowered. Hmm. Businesses crave stability. That's why businesses right now have cash on the sideline. They don't know what's going to happen. In order for business to reinvest, they need to know what the rules of the game are and not have government constantly changing that on them.
Well, and I think you got to change something. When nobody can get a loan on anything these days. People are out there, can't even get a mortgage.
Yeah, they're really hurting.
That's got to change if you're going to stimulate this economy in Arizona, right?
Yeah, and for instance, Obamacare. People are out there saying, I don't know if I can hire another person because if I do, I don't know what the costs are going to be.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll follow your campaign, and we'll have you back on and see how it goes, and we wish you the best of luck, and good luck to you.
Great. Thank you very much. I look forward to it, too, Dennis.
Okay, well, take care.
Bye-bye.
This is Dennis Wilencheck, and we're going to take a commercial break. Remember that Veterans Job Fair, as I call it, on November 26th, Representative Jerry Wires is putting on that we talked about earlier out at the Wigwam, and we'll be back after these commercial messages.
Your home for the Michael Savage Show. Monday through Friday starting at 5. Only on 1100 KFNX. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilencheck & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilencheck & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilencheck & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Join me, Francis Battaglia, president of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, for the St. Vincent de Paul 4th Annual Restoring Hope Through Faith and Love Community Fundraising Breakfast on Thursday, November 17th at the Arizona Biltmore from 7:30 till 9 a.m. This free event has been generously provided by the Arizona Biltmore and other sponsors to educate the community about St. Vincent de Paul, its services, and the people it serves. Did you know that over 90% of every dollar donated goes directly to serving the poor? Last year, more than 2,200 supporters attended the event and raised almost $850,000 for St. Vincent de Paul. Please join me for breakfast at the KFNX table November 17th. To RSVP, email marketing at 1100KFNX.com or call 602-277-1100 extension 1446. That's 602-277-1100 extension 1446. I look forward to seeing you there and supporting St. Vincent de Paul Help the Poor.
Have we reached a new era in real estate? Is real estate still a part of the American dream? The experts are speaking a new language. Tune into Real Estate Talk with Scott Whitlam, Saturdays from 7:30 until 8 a.m. on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
And this is Dennis Wilencheck. And that was Billy Joel, An Innocent Man.
It's a good song. I like that
song. You like that song?
Yeah, I love Billy Joel. Man. He's a New Yorker, isn't he, from what, Long Island?
He is, but I think he lost the accent, too, some time ago when he married Christie Brinkley, I think.
Now, wait a sec. I just saw a special on him where they said goodbye to Shea Stadium. And when you're in a bowl of 50,000 Shea Stadium guys, you're going to have that New York accent back. So I think it's give and take.
That's true. It comes back very quickly. I went to school in Texas, and when I go down there, I become like a Southerner, you know?
Oh, no.
Although somebody told me yesterday that Houston, where I went to school, is not part of the South, and it's not part of South Texas. I was told that by a Texan person who lives in Austin. So they argued that Houston is not part of the South Texas environment. It's somehow an island unto itself.
That's really bizarre. I would think that Dallas would be like that.
Well, it's kind of like Phoenix and Tucson, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I was down in Tucson yesterday, and sometimes I wonder if that movement to separate out Tucson is not such a bad idea.
Do you think it's maybe like a little L.A. San Diego type
thing?
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. I think we have that here with Phoenix and Tucson.
Sure.
Different, you know, and real quickly, in Austin, Texas, the capital, people there are ultra liberal and young because of the school. And then you go down to Houston. It's completely different. Dallas, conservative.
Oh, yeah. Well, Austin, like you say, that's a college town. They have the largest dorm in the country that's co-ed dorm.
Yeah.
I think it's like 10,000 kids.
So you get a lot of that with the U of A down in Tucson. But because Phoenix is so much larger, ASU sort of blends in without creating as much of an impact up
there. Well, it's a part of a suburb. I mean, you know, Tempe isn't really – I mean, it's somewhat considered a college town, but it doesn't have that college town feel.
Exactly.
Tucson definitely has a college town feel.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we're waiting on
he's actually on right now. He'll be with us in 15 seconds.
Okay, well, we're waiting here real quickly on Bob Littlefield, who is Scottsdale City Councilman, and we're going to be discussing not the difference between Phoenix and Tucson, but maybe the difference between Phoenix and Scottsdale. In any event, some people have argued that maybe there's a lot of difference there too, Chet. Okay, well, Mr. Littlefield, are you with us?
I certainly am.
Well, great. We weren't disparaging Scottsdale by any means, but we were saying that, you know, I was down in Tucson yesterday. There's a lot of differences between the Phoenix metropolitan area, I'll say, and Tucson.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess to some extent there's becoming more and more of a difference between Phoenix and Scottsdale, particularly the North Scottsdale area in particular, the demographics and so forth. But anyway, we're that's not why we have you on the show. So let's turn to the reason why you're here.
Sure.
And we have you on really to talk about issues with redistricting. So why don't you take the time and explain to our listeners what the issue is that you've been, I don't want to say complaining about, but you've been talking about. Are you unhappy with the entire redistricting process or just as it relates to Scottsdale or what?
Yeah, well, I mean, I could go on for days about the entire redistricting process, but in my role as a representative of Scottsdale, my particular upset and what I testified to the redistricting committee about was this. We have all of these various criteria that these guys are supposed to meet, and one of them is communities of interest. And, I mean, you know, you could make the argument, I know all about the Fountain Hills to Yuma thing and everything, but my particular interest is this. In Scottsdale, South Scottsdale has for years been cut off from the rest of the Scottsdale in a different district. And now in the latest iteration of the maps, they're cut off again.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me, just hearing that.
Yeah, and you've got the other person who was particularly upset about this was the head of the school district, the superintendent down there, Dr. David Peterson, and he and I were talking. Actually, I did a little TV show on this on our local TV here, and he made the point. He said it has two problems. Number one, for local governments and school boards, the legislature is very important because in our state system, which, by the way, is a bad system, in my mind, the
except city, for all the others, as Winston Churchill once said, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, well, no, actually it isn't. I mean, I can go on
again. Just kidding you.
School boards have very little control over their own budgets, and that's thanks to that decision that came out of Tucson years ago, Center for Law and the Public Interest, grossly misnamed, I might add. But anyway, those guys, so the school district really depends on the legislature, and quite frankly, I've been on the city council here for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
We have a lot of issues down there, too, so it's important for us to be represented. It's also important for us to be represented as one community of interest. And right now they've got South Scottsdale stuck off again with partly with the reservation and then partly with a bunch of people in Phoenix. So I object to that for two reasons. Number one, it means South Scottsdale will be underrepresented. Two, it dilutes Scottsdale's representation. And three, it has the effect of making folks in South Scottsdale feel even more isolated. And they already feel isolated from the rest of the city. I hear all the time that, you know, we're not represented at City Hall. And so it just makes that worse. So I went down and along with the folks from the school district, went down to the redistricting commission and said, hey, you guys, community of interest, Scottsdale is just about, if you look at the population of Scottsdale, we're just about the number for one legislative district. So yeah. Make Scottsdale a legislative district. You know, I love Fountain Hills, but you know what?
What's the reaction to that?
Well, of course, you know, they don't really react down there. This was just after the chairwoman got dumped.
Right.
So, you know, they were kind of like, you know, thanks for your interest, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, and who knows what these guys are going to do because now you got all these other, you know, is the court going to reinstate that woman?
Yeah,
are they
going
to get somebody else?
We're going to have a show on that one. Let me ask you something, though, because we're running short on time, unfortunately.
Sure.
But let me just ask you this. Now, you've got Fountain Hills, you got Rio Verde. How do they factor into this? Because, quite honestly, I'm not sure that there is a real community of interest with North Scottsdale and South Scottsdale as much as you'd like to say there is. I'm not sure in reality there is, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
I would disagree. I like Fountain Hills just fine. But quite frankly, Fountain Hills has more in common with all of Scottsdale, including North Scottsdale, than or less in common with us than South Scottsdale. You know,
South Scottsdale have in common with North Scottsdale? In other words, I was up at a party, I think a week ago, up at that Silverleaf area.
Yeah.
And I can't see a lot of connection between that area and South Scottsdale, but maybe, again, I'm missing something.
Well, I tell you two things they have. Number one is development issues, is because I would say, and I've often said, that I don't care where you live in Scottsdale, whether it's a $200,000 home down by McKellips or a $2 million home up at Desert Mountain, everybody pays some kind of premium to be in Scottsdale, and that's because in Scottsdale we have higher standards for design and development.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true all over the city, and that's going to be a big issue in our next election. And so I think in that sense, everybody in Scottsdale, north or south, has a stake in that. The other is financial issues.
You make a good point there. You make a good point.
Yeah. The other is financial issues. You know, number one job of a city is to protect the public, right? Police and fire, and to handle our money wisely. Well, you know what? It's your money whether you live up north or whether you live down south. And that also ties into the legislature. And much as I love Fountain Hills, I don't think that they're as tied to any part of Scottsdale as South Scottsdale is. And so I believe that what they should do, and we've actually submitted an alternative map that keeps Scottsdale together as one community of interest, and which would be, I think, an ideal District 23. And I should say this isn't about my personal future, because in Scottsdale we don't run in districts. We run at large and we run nonpartisan.
Yeah, it's not going to affect you at all, really.
Yeah, it's not going to affect me.
But,
so,
you know, you make some good points here, really. What is there any effect on the school districts in particular, depending on how they draw these maps?
Oh, giant. In fact, it's probably worse for them than it is for the city, because they get so much of their money now, so much of their budget is controlled by the state legislature, which I think is wrong, by the way. I believe in local control. I believe that the trend away from letting school districts control their own budgets has been a giant mistake.
Yeah.
I also believe the Department of Education at the federal level is a mistake, too. But that's,
well, anytime you take it away from the local level, to me it's a mistake. But
exactly right. Exactly right. And so these guys, in fact, their future is much more tied to those guys down at the legislature. And the last thing that they want is to be, right now the current map has them divided up amongst four legislative districts. Well, the parent council is, they're up in arms about that, because they'll never get anybody's attention. Even if we adopt our map, as you know, in Arizona, the school district maps don't match up to the city maps at all, which is different. Most people who come from back east, the schools are actually run by the city. That's not true out here.
Yeah.
Completely different. They have their own school board.
Well, let me ask you, what is the prevailing view then, even in drawing up a tentative map different than what you're proposing, which is to have basically Scottsdale in one district? I mean, what's the idea behind that? Is it to even out the races, or in terms of the political races? What was the idea of not doing what you're proposing in the first place, I guess I'm trying to find out, because I know they're trying to even it out, where make races more competitive was one of the things I heard.
Yes, and that's part of the problem is we've got both sides, Democrats and Republicans, who are kind of trying to, you know, of course you know that supposedly the Independent Redistricting Commission is not supposed to consider where the incumbents live. But guess what? All the incumbents know, and their buddies know, and they're down there trying to, and this is happening on both sides. I can't tell you how much contact I've had with both Republicans and Democrats on this issue. And the big problem is you've got the situation where most of the outlying suburbs are Republican, but the downtown Phoenix is Democrat. And so what's happening is Democrats are trying to maximize, you know, they're trying to move the Republicans away from them.
All right.
And they're and you know, the Republicans are trying to put all the Democrats in one spot so as to minimize, you know, the number of folks we got there. So partisan politics.
All right, Bob, we've got to run. That's our music saying that Mr. Savage is coming on after the news.
Thanks for having me on.
We don't want to get him angry. So we will talk to you again about this and follow up on it, as well as the court's decision tomorrow about this whole redistricting. This is Dennis Wilenchek on Legalese. Thank you, Bob, for being with us. Bob Littlefield from the Scottsdale City Council. And take care, folks. We'll see you next week on the show, and we'll have another interesting group of people to talk about current events of our day.
Have you looked in your jewelry box lately? If you're like most people, chances are you'll have all kinds of jewelry, gems, and diamonds that you no longer wear, or watches that no longer work. If these items would be more valuable to you as cash, come to London Gold, the jewelry store smart shoppers have trusted for over 30 years. With gold at an all-time high, now is the time to let London Gold buy from you. Stop by one of our three valley-wide locations where our precious metal specialists are always on hand to evaluate your items. We will carefully test and examine each piece to determine its weight and current market value. Then we will make you an offer. If you accept, we'll pay you on the spot, and there's never any pressure to sell. Walk away anytime. No charge, no hassle. And if something in our showroom catches your eye, you can take advantage of our 20% bonus offer towards a new purchase. Imagine, in one visit, you can trade in old style for new ones and take home cash to boot.
London Gold, it's the best.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m., KFNX News Talk.